Hello and welcome to Current Podcast.
No, dude. It's our podcast.
It's like our podcast. Shut up.
Oh no.
Oh, damn.
No.
Welcome to episode 17?
17.
Of Life in Hex. I'm Gelada.
I'm Sephron.
I'm Proen.
Hello, Proen.
And today with us, we have Proen. Yeah, hello, Proen.
Let me just alt-tab to the show notes. Okay, we've got some housekeeping to start with.
Well, first bit of housekeeping. Proen's here. Hello, Proen.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How about you two?
Did it again!
Everyone starts like that.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Yamara started like that, and Pekamak started like that.
Excellent.
It's all good. It's all tickety-boo.
It is. We have some beers this time around.
Yes.
We're doing like a Dignation semi-styly, only they're not luxury beers.
No, they're not like these luxury beers that they buy every week.
I could have got a German cloudy beer, but I thought I'd probably throw up.
Probably.
They're not very nice.
Yeah. So we'll start with you. What beer you got?
I've got a something unpronounceable, Königsbier. It's a premium lager from...
It's like Germany.
From France, actually.
France?
Bier Blonde Brassé en France. So this is from France. They speak like Franken there, don't they?
Or it's like Franzenbergen?
And it's 25... What's that? What's CL? CL?
It's like you know... Like
cubic liters?
Like maybe Quebecan liter?
Yeah.
You know, like...
So yeah, it's just a little lager, and I didn't want to be boring and have a Stella like Proen. So, what have you got, Sephron?
Oh, I've got something very exotic.
Yes, you have.
Oh, mine is this super amazing Tesco Value.
Excellent.
Bitter.
Yes, very nice. And Proen, you have a Stella. You have a Stella.
Just a Stella.
Classic Stella.
It's just all
it
good.
It was free.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Put milk away. Excellent.
Right.
He put some milk away, so we got some free beer.
Fair enough. Also, we're going to do an extra, a Life in Hextra, as we've done before.
Life in Hextra 2?
Yes, and it's going to be released alongside this episode, probably Thursday, maybe later.
Give you a chance to edit.
At some point, because I've got people coming over tomorrow, so editing's going to be a bit dodgy, and I've got to edit this in time, obviously. So at some point, we'll have the extra episode on Thursday,
yep.
And it's going to be...
Anime.
Anime, yeah. It's going to be an anime special, so... All you anime fanny people.
You'll like that. It's nothing but anime, so if you don't like anime, don't download
even,
it.
Yeah, don't even bother listening to it.
Like last time, it won't be on the RSS feed. It won't be on DP, but it'll just be available on our website to download. So
if
you want it, go and check it out on the website.
Yep. Also, just a quick mention. We haven't got it on here, but please do come and have a look on our forums. We're adding a few things there now. You added your little review very long.
Over 2,000 words.
Why was it three posts? Wouldn't it fit?
Because
it wouldn't let me fit in one post.
I tried it. It said you are 6,000 letters, 6,000 characters over the limit.
That'd be why then. All right, so go and have a look on the forum. Go and register. And we've got Moonlit on there chatting around about kind of fangirl be best man.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't know. Can they? Mm. You need to sort out the avatars.
The avatar?
It says on the page that it will resize the picture into the size of the avatar, the little thing.
And it doesn't, it just crops
and it. Just, no, it just centers in on it.
Yeah.
Because I've got a picture and all it's done is it's zoomed in on it.
Ooh, how do you get pictures on the form?
You have to use the BB code but instead of the text. I'm going to try and sort it. I might move to like PumBB. I don't want to go to PHPBB because it sucks. I want to move to like PumBB maybe because that's a bit more generic. Everyone understands that a bit better. But we'll see depending on how much load we get and stuff.
Cool.
So, life.
Life. Well, it's really just me, my life, because, I mean, I've been doing some cool stuff recently. Well, I won't say it's cool. It's actually very dull. Don't take the show notes away.
Sorry.
Thank you. I've been leveling a lot at the moment on RO, on Ragnarok, because currently it's the third anniversary special event on IRO, since it's been 3 years now since IRO went gold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's 5 years since it started, and remember when we started playing it back in year seven.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
I remember going through that little forest.
I know. Mm. Trying to get to the town, we kept dying.
Yeah.
That was funny. And to celebrate, they're doing this event, which allows you to get this special hat. It's like a baseball cap, which gives you 50% extra experience for each kill you get.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes leveling, like, so much faster. Mm-hmm. So people have been leveling like crazy, and I'm one of them.
Mm.
So I've been working really hard,
mm-hmm.
and I'm already level 95. Going to be level 96 soon, hopefully.
All right, cool.
So, yeah. Another little bit of life is I could, and from what happened last night, be getting a new job.
Mm-hmm. Snazzy job.
Mm. No, it's not really not snazzy.
Oh.
It's working in a warehouse in Tesco behind the store where all the food's kept and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's called pre-sorting. and I'll just be moving stuff from one place to another and sorting it out, making sure it's all easy to manage and everything. It's very, it's boring manual labor, but
someone's got to do it.
It's easy, and it's a lot more money that I will be getting at the moment, because I mean, I get like fuck all at the library at the moment. So it'll be a lot more money. And I might even be getting my new computer by the LAN.
No, you won't.
I know.
You've got to be using Higara.
I know. I will use Higara.
Indeed.
I can't see it.
No, you're not, allowed to see it. Oh, yeah. Maybe we should take a photo of what we've done, because Project Guidestone, which I mentioned last episode, and Higara and everything, Proen and Dazarus aren't allowed to see it. Mix has seen it. But Proen and Dazarus aren't allowed to see it before the LAN, because Sephiroth's going to make an entrance with it.
I'm sort of walk in with it, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be very nice. So, it's covered by like a brown cloth.
This cloth that you found.
I found it in the garage, and I just sort of covered it. And
it looks maxi.
It looks quite good, actually. I mean, you know.
I wouldn't want to take that to LAN with me.
I don't know.
What, you really want to go to I-27 or I-28, rather?
With a brown,
cloth covered computer.
Well, I don't know.
You could snatch it up.
Well, it'd win an award
put
of looking...
Put a window in it.
Yes, that might work, but let's not, shall
yes,
we?
Yes, okay.
Let's just like leave it smexiness alone.
Mm-hmm. Proen, you have a bit of news, a bit of life.
I got beat up in Quasar.
Aww.
Oh, poor little Proen.
Oh, poor Proen.
But I still won.
You won.
I got to get that point through. I won. And I was held by through a wall by three people.
Yeah, they weren't really playing by the rules, were they?
They were literally beating you up.
I had no gun at one point.
They took your gun away.
But yeah, it was Mixed Wizards' birthday celebration-y type thing. Wasn't it?
Oh, right. I didn't realise it
was
birthday.
Yeah, he went with some work colleagues and stuff from Maplin and that. So
Only three.
Okay, well, I haven't really got a lot of life stuff, so we'll just move on to the anime section. Yes? Proen, you've got a review to do, I believe. I believe. Yes? So take it away.
Udoki. The review is about Honey Clover. Honey Clover. First series finished last year. There's a new one coming out next Thursday as well. Second one.
Yes, your MSN name was like, oh my god, I think this series coming out, oh my god.
I was reading Wikipedia to have a look at what genre it was, because I wasn't too sure, like, all the genres were right.
Alright.
And it said on there, I was like, wow, go to the website. It's a drama / comedy romance, and also it's made by females for teen and adult. Other females as well, but I enjoyed it.
That's known as a shoujo, isn't it?
Shoujo, yeah. Right. I learned that.
It's about 30 seconds ago.
Good boy. There you go. Have a cookie.
Yeah, can I?
You can.
Sweet.
We have some pancake.
You'll have to wait.
No, we're not. No, we're not going into that. Moving on.
Okay.
Right. It starts off with three guys in an apartment. They're art colleagues. Our colleagues at college. Takemoto, Mayama, and Morito. My two favourite ones are Takemoto and Morita.
Guessing Takemoto is the main character.
They're all main characters, really.
So there's no one main character.
Not really.
Right.
Apart from the end of the series when Takemoto kind of takes over.
That's what I mean then.
Yeah.
So that was right, wasn't I?
Only the end bit.
Ah, I see.
Yeah. Well, he goes on a life journey. He's like one of my mainest best ones, and he goes on a life journey to find out himself. But he actually went there because he got peed off with everyone else.
Okay.
He
gets peed off at people, and then he goes to art college.
No. He was at art college already.
Where does he go then?
Oh, he went because he could feed off with everyone.
Right.
In the halfway of the series.
Right.
He went off on a bike on his journey.
Right.
Yeah, because he did that with his father.
Okay.
Yeah. At the previous life.
Okay. Right. Okay. Whatever.
Little childhood, like 4 years.
Whatever. Okay. Whatever. Go for it.
Right.
Keep going.
And he has feelings for this little girl called Hagu. Well, she's not actually little.
Hagu.
Is that what she called? That's what they call her.
I swear you said Haggut.
Hagu.
What a lovely name.
Hagu.
It is really nice, actually.
Hagu.
She's the same age.
That sounds like a haggis.
She's the same age as them, yeah?
Ew. That's gross. Anybody who doesn't know what haggis is.
Yes.
It's not nice. Anyway, sorry.
It's nice.
Haggis is not nice.
It's awesome.
How can you like haggis?
Because I never had it before.
Exactly, so shut up.
Go
it looks nice.
Ask Fire what haggis is. Anyway, go on.
Yeah. Well, she is little, but she's the same age as Takemoto and all the others, apart from Morita, which is 24. Yeah, apart from that, let's go on to Morita, because he's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a lazy guy, yeah, but though he has failed his graduation 2 or 3 times now, Yeah.
A bit like Itaro in Lavina.
Mm-hmm.
Legend.
It's awesome. It's a really, what's it called? Creative guy. He is. He's really well with his craft and art. He also is in love with Hagu. Yeah.
Right.
Like, first time seeing each other, they love falling in love. It's mm-hmm. pretty nice.
They, both of them fall in love with each other, or he falls in love with her.
Takemoto and Marita fall in love with Hagu.
And she doesn't like either of them? Or she can't decide who she likes?
In a way. I'm not saying what happens.
All right, fair enough. So it's a bit of a spoiler then.
She like, yeah. Okay. But she likes them in different ways.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Well, he expresses his feelings in a strange way, kind of
right.
pulls her back sort of thing.
Okay. Go for it.
Well, he goes to America from between episode 12 and 18, something like that. Yeah. And also, he doesn't like... Well, he loves Hagu's and Yamada's cooking.
Right.
Which is very disgusting.
Is that important to the plot?
Yeah,
I because don't know. I thought that.
Because they always have parties. It's their series spread over about 2-3 years, yeah.
All right.
And they, whenever they make cooking for Christmas and all that lot, Maeyama and Takemoto always try and make excuses up, try and get out of it.
That's nice.
To eat in it.
Right.
But Marita loves it.
So basically, what's kind of the general idea of the story? You know, what's the main plot? But right. not giving too much away, obviously, so you don't want to spoil it.
Yeah. There's two relationships going on between Takemoto, Marita, and Hagu,
mm-hmm.
as well as Miyama, Rika, and Yamada.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The other relationship's kind of a iffy one, which is Yamada likes Miyama,
mm-hmm.
but Miyama likes Rika.
Right.
Yeah.
This sounds like very much a like, almost like a soap.
It does actually.
Like, it sounds like an episode out of EastEnders or something.
Well, it's a 24 episode series with two specials, L and F.
All right. Which,
very cool. They're quite funny.
So, what's. I mean, I haven't seen it at all. I haven't even seen pictures of it, so I have no idea what it's about.
I can't believe you haven't heard of it before.
But you haven't heard of some of the anime I watch.
Yeah. But it's an awesome
So
one.
Shut up.
It should be up there in like best five or something. I think One Piece should be on one.
Nah, One Piece shouldn't be number one.
Trigun. That's the only one I know that's a classic.
No, Tenchi.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Dragon Ball Z. English version. even Gelada gave me evil looks then.
Go on, Prime.
So what's like the animation's quality like?
In the way which the... it's
How it's drawn and everything.
How does it look? Is it nice looking or is it like your typical modern day anime?
It's a very modern age, very fresh looking.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to say it's very fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like other stuff like Karen and all that, which I've been watching.
All right, so it's very similar to other modern day anime sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sort of style.
Yeah.
I recommend watching it.
Mm-hmm. But it's quite nice looking though overall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the, I know I'm keep asking you all these questions. I'm just interested because, I mean, I think it's important to an anime.
Yeah.
What's the voice acting like?
I really enjoyed it.
You think the voice acting?
Yeah, I really got uncomfortable with the voice actor of Marita and Miyama a lot.
All right,
cool. Right with the first bit,
because
there are mainly parts in there. They were, and especially like the intro bit for Marita as he comes back from work. It was really cool.
All right, cool. So, anything else, Sephron?
Well, not really. I mean, he covers pretty much all of it. I mean, it sounds like an interesting anime. I mean. It sounds like it does sound like your average shoujo, to be honest. It sounds like your average love triangle with other complications being thrown in.
Yeah.
But again, it sounds like your very modern day anime.
Out of 10?
Yeah, out of 10, what do you give it?
It depends really, because I don't know what the second series is like.
Right.
I'll give it a 9.
What'd you give
the
first series out? 10. 9 out of 10.
I give it 9 out of 10, but right. 10 out of 10 maybe if I know if I think what's going to happen at the end.
All right. Okay.
Because they weren't very sure about it.
So pretty good then.
Very good.
One of your favourites.
I loved it.
All right, cool. Okay, you've got some stuff about anime torrent scene.
Well,
first of all, before we start, we do not condone piracy of any kind, anime torrents, blah, blah, blah. We're just discussing what you could see if you actually went out. I mean, there's nothing illegal to talk about it.
No.
You know, but actually taking part in it, you're just talking about the scene itself.
Yeah, but this is just all acting.
Exactly. Well, you that's know. True, yeah. You know, we're just actors.
We're just actors. This is all fake. I mean, none of this is real.
No, exactly. So, you
Define
want
to, real.
You wanted to talk about the anime torrent scene.
Yeah, I mean, you won't obviously know much about this at all. Exactly. But I just want to discuss kind of like how things are going on at the moment. I mean, I think a really good example of things of this is the website Anime Suki.
Yeah.
If anyone is into anime and the torrenting of anime and everything, then you should definitely check out www.animesuki.com. That's anime, A-N-I-M-E, and suki, S-U-K-I.com. Mm-hmm. Be on the website.
It will.
Backer updates.
Backer updates? Is that another one?
Mm-hmm. Do you need to go on that one?
No.
Oh, you're missing out. Yeah, go on Backer updates. It's B-A-K-A updates.com.
Backer, as in the Japanese word for idiots. Okay. So, B-A-K-A updates.com. Okay, check that out as well. Thank you, Perrin, for that. I didn't know that. But I think it's a good idea on both of these because they're big anime torrent sites. They're where all the subbing groups post all their torrents for their anime that they've done. And if you haven't noticed recently, if you've been following it, it's been slowing down recently.
Hmm.
I mean, what do you feel about that? Do you think it's good? Do you think it's bad?
Well, since I'm always watching anime, like constantly, I like to watch new animes. And since Karen finished, there's not much there.
No, it's been a bit quiet, hasn't it?
Hmm.
Well, I was told by a friend of mine, and I read up on a few things, that anime generally spikes at around the April season. Because apparently, in Japan, that's when all the new shows are like published and bought and made and aired and everything, because that's like the new big season or something. I'm not 100% sure. And I think we both agreed to this, that during the April season, there's like loads of these releases, but then a lot of them are shit, aren't they?
A lot, yeah. There is one which I liked, which was Love Gets You by... recommended from Yamara, which I also enjoyed.
Yeah.
It's like another comedy romance sort of thing.
Yeah.
But that only did one episode, which was very bad.
Because the series didn't do very well.
Well, I liked it.
Yeah, but obviously not a lot of people in Japan did.
Because
don't forget, the TV companies don't really care about what the torrenters on the internet feel from, like, America or England. They care what Japanese people think.
But I liked that one.
I'm sure you did, but that's not the point.
Yeah, I own that.
But, I mean, it's just, I mean, it's not a shame, so to speak, that it slows down. But it's interesting how it spikes and then goes down and spikes and goes down. Hmm. But I also find it interesting that there's so many subbing groups that are willing to do all these new series.
Yeah. It's like AC/DC, not long ago, took over.
Yeah, they started working on One Piece because Gurusama really slowed down and becoming less productive. I mean, don't get me wrong, I still prefer Gurusama's subbing. I think it's far higher quality. But ADC elites get him out a lot quicker. So, just say, well, they have a beer.
Yeah. C1 Anime. It's another one which took over for a lot of stuff like Mushishi. Have I told you about that?
Mushishi. You have showed me, but I don't think I've watched it.
It was like, how long was it? Like 3 months gap between episode 20 and 21
when they released it. Which is really bad.
Hmm. But they started, kicked back off again.
Yeah,
they didn't do number 1 to 20. Someone else did.
Typical.
Which was pretty nice of them to do that.
Yeah, it's good though. Hmm. I think the only anime at the moment which I'm really following properly is currently Dot Hack Roots.
Yeah.
And I think practically any anime fan is, really. I mean, who
I'm interested in.
You know, what kind of anime fan are if you don't like Dot Hack? Hmm. I mean, Dot Hack's amazing. But I haven't really been following any of the anime at the moment. I mean, I will download the latest episode of High School Girls because I think it's funny.
That is awesome.
It's quite funny. And I will download the latest episode of One Piece if it gets released on Gurusama. But that's about it at the moment. I've not really been following a lot of anime. Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, would you suggest anything to torrenters out there to looking for anime to watch this quiet season?
I'm not sure. I'm just downloading any old thing I am.
So you just, like, try anything then?
Yeah. And then if I get into it, watched a whole lot. But I've started getting rid of Strawberry Panic.
Strawberry Panic's not very good?
No. It's episode 10 wasn't that good.
Mm.
It's kind of gone
down. Isn't that one about the vampire or something?
No, it's the one with the three girls, schools.
Oh,
three
girls. There were all these three girls at schools. They were all covering, like, panties and that's about it.
Yeah.
I remember now.
It's just getting boring now. It's like, I thought it was quite cool, but no.
Yeah. All right, well, that's pretty much all. I just wanted to have a quick discussion on the anime scene.
Okay, so we've got some music now, just to interlude between the anime and the rest of the show. This is from Wat Wuzet.
I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
I think that's Wat Wuzet, and it's called Sunshine...
Or is it Wat Twazet?
I have no idea. And it's called Sunshine City Jive. And they don't have a website, but We got it from music.podshow.com. Thanks to them, obviously. Props to them.
As usual.
And you can go visit the artist site on music.podshow.com at tinyurl.com/QVPMU.
That'll be on the website.
It will be on the website, of course.
As always.
But it's pretty cool. It's nice, you know, sunshine. It's sunny outside. It's summer, you know, so it's a good song for them.
I think it's a return to our normal kind of music. Because yeah. the last couple of shows, we've had some little bit different music.
Code Monkey. Yeah. Okay. So so we'll get you back after this with some tech and some gaming.
Yeah. Come on. Everybody gotta make that cash, gotta make that dollar. Sunshine City Jive. Everybody wanna make that flash, wanna make them holler. Sunshine City Jive. City life, fast cars, bright lights, suckers and shows, pimps and hoes. It's all a big joke. Movers and shakers on the scene, selling that sex and drugs. I'm on a silver screen, yeah. They got you losing your mind. For what? For what? Yeah. They make you spend every dime. Where they're in. Everybody gotta make that cash, gotta make that dollar. Sunshine City Jive. Everybody wanna make them flash, wanna make them holler. Sunshine City Jive. You walk the streets looking for hope, blown off steam, in the land of fake breasts and shattered dreams. Keep running in place just like they do. You laugh, cry, cheat and lie just like they want you to. Yeah, yeah, they got you losing your mind. For what? For what? They make you spend every dime. Will it ever end? Everybody gotta make that cash, gotta make that dollar. Sunshine City Jive. Everybody wanna make that flash, wanna make them holler. Sunshine City Jive. Player on the scene, bow down to the bullshit. Yeah, big player on the scene. Step aside, let me do my thing. City Jive. Everybody wanna make them flash, wanna make them holler. Sunshine City Jive.
Okay, welcome back. We hope you enjoyed What's It with
Sunshine City Jive.
We're going to move on to some tech and then finish off with the gaming because I've got a couple of tech things that I want to just rant on about for a while.
Well, no, but I mean, every time we get an email, people always say, love the tech sections. Mm-hmm. They always say, love the tech sections. So, I mean, even if you think you're only, you know, ranting on.
Yeah, well, ranting on's good.
It's all good.
I had an experiment with Linux. It was Ubuntu Linux, the latest 6.06 LTS. But yeah, I've always wanted to move to Linux, but I've always been restricted because I am a heavy gamer, play a lot of Counter-Strike, everything else, blah, blah, blah.
And you mean so, you play a lot of Counter-Strike, blah, 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 everything else, you just play Counter-Strike?
No, I play loads of games.
When's the last time you played another game other than Counter-Strike?
Dawn of War yesterday. Fuck. AOE3 a couple of days ago. Me, you, Daz, Mix. Okay.
Why don't you fuckers play Dawn of War anymore? Because I want to play.
Well, we'll play Dawn of War, sure. I'll play Dawn of War. I'll play Dawn of War tonight. I don't care. I'll always play a game of Dawn of War. You should just ask.
That's okay. A strange one tonight.
Dawn of War's cool. But anyway, in fact, it's my favourite RTS at the moment. But anyway, so I've always wanted to move to Linux, but gaming's always restricted me, so I thought I'd give it a go. You know, people always say, like, you can use Sedega and Wine and all this sort of thing. So I installed Ubuntu, which went fine once I got a few things working. I installed the NVIDIA drivers, which are, I believe, they're actually made by the community, so they're not actually made by NVIDIA. And they worked fine, there were no problems. Now, there are some games that are native to Linux already. The one that I have that I know is Unreal Tournament 2004. And also Creature's Docking Station, but I didn't think I could be...
Dude, that owns!
I couldn't be asked to try that out on Linux.
Dude, I remember that.
Can you imagine? I could run that as a server on Tomb Raider.
Oh my god, that would be so cool. Dude, we have to do that LAN.
What, Creatures?
Yes, yeah, set up our own Creatures Docking Station game on the LAN. Oh, we connected to each other.
I don't think it works anymore, does it? The servers, I don't think any of the servers
We can set up our own.
I don't know whether you can set up a dedicated server for... If anyone knows, please email us, show@lifeinhex.com.
Show@lifeinhex.com.
If you can set up your own Creatures Docking Station ecosystem. But yes.
I know it's a long shot, but just in case, if anyone knows how to set up their own private
Earth and Beyond
server, let us know.
I have encryption keys if you want to hide from EA. But yeah, so I tried Unreal Tournament 2004. And it worked, surprisingly. It all started. It uses OpenGL, because OpenGL is more supported in Linux. But the frame rate, what I did, just for a laugh, I thought, right, on Windows, I can put everything on Ubermax. Yeah, I can just set everything up to highest. I did that, and I got, like, a frame a second. So
poor Aya.
Clearly showing that Linux isn't quite capable yet of matching, which is obvious, really, but still. So, and then when I tried to change the settings back to low, it segfaulted and wouldn't let me back in because it corrupted the config file. So I thought, okay, fuck that. So what I then wanted to try is, obviously, I play a lot of Counter-Strike, so I wanted to try that out on Linux. Now, I know that if you use Sedega, which you have to pay for, it's made by Trans Gaming Technologies, I think, they say that it works. They've got like 100% success rate Counter-Strike, all Steam games, blah, blah, blah. So I thought, well, I'm not going to pay for Sedega just to do a little project, just to do a little gaming project. So I thought, well, I'll try Wine, because Sedega is based off Wine, using a few extra things. So I went ahead and installed Wine. I installed it from the Ubuntu one, I installed it from the CVS, tried all the different ones. It just didn't work. I mean, you really do need a degree in the Windows API to work
out. You were ranting on to me that night when you were trying to get Steam working in Linux so long.
You really do need a degree in C, DirectX coding, and the Windows API. Yeah. Because all the errors that are coming up are just... I mean, you get errors that you've never, ever seen before in Windows, but could actually happen. Yeah. But it's because, like, crucial things are missing out of Wine that would normally be in Windows. You see the strangest errors you've ever seen in your entire life. So I tried Wine and that didn't work. So I tried Wine X, which is what Sedega was based on, and that didn't work either. And I tried Sedega Trial and that didn't work either. So the upshot of it all is that you cannot do it. It is not easy.
I know of a program that will work.
What's that?
Windows.
Yes, Windows. So, you know, what I did manage to get to work, I did manage to get Counter-Strike 1.6 working.
Didn't that work actually quite well?
It did. No, it was. It was surprisingly well. It worked. I could get full screen mode. I couldn't change the resolution. I think I probably could have done, but I didn't want to get the same problems I'd had previously. So it ran in a kind of semi-window. But for some reason, the weapons were left-handed, even though it was set to right-handed in the controls. And when you swapped to a knife, it went to right-handed.
That's weird.
There was some strange bug that was causing left-handed and right-handed things to act at the same time. But it did work. It worked. You know, I could get on the internet. I could play games on the internet. I could play online with people. But obviously, Counter-Strike 1.6 sucks, so...
Well, a lot of people still play on an Xbox.
Yeah, but it still sucks.
You were like, there's a tank on office?
Yeah, I went in and I was like, there's a problem, it's got screwed up, there's a tank in the middle of office.
There is, though.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. So, I couldn't get Counter-Strike Source to work at all. Now, people do have success stories. Don't be disheartened by what I'm saying. If you really want to try it, give it a go. But I recommend buying Sediger. If you're that serious about it,
yeah,
actually go out there, go and buy it. Because if you have any problems, you can actually phone up Transgaming and they will sort it out for you. Because you pay for the support and you pay for them to continue.
So that's basically what you're paying for, not the program itself,
yeah,
really.
And so, yeah, because the program itself you can get through open source means. But they tell you, if everyone starts doing this, we'll shut it down. Mm. So, but you can do that, but it doesn't work properly because you've... I mean, I started it, didn't I, in the morning, and it took like 4 hours for it to obtain it in order to compile everything. So, if you really want to try it, I do recommend you buy Sediger Trial. But buy Sediger Trial? You buy Sediger, you buy all the point to play and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if you've got any problems, you phone Transgaming up. And don't even try using Wine or anything, because by installing Wine and by installing all these different things, you will actually screw Sediger up. The other thing is, don't try and play them off your Windows hard drives. I tried copying across Steam, deleting the client registry file, and then it running that. I don't think it appreciated that. I think it wanted to be properly installed and to do the registry settings and stuff. Because Wine does support registry and all this sort of thing. You can see all of that. If you're really serious about it, it's possible. But you will get much, much, much reduced performance. Don't believe any of the myths that in Linux it's actually better than it is in Windows. Not. Because that's complete bollocks.
Yeah, it's because most things are coded for Windows.
Well, you've got to emulate it, haven't you? And so by doing emulation, you lose a hell of a lot of power. So I would recommend, if anyone's a gamer, don't even bother trying.
You might as well just stick with Windows.
Yeah, and people say, well, just use Linux and then restart to go into Windows. But I can sometimes just play a round of Counter-Strike and I'll get bored. I don't want to have to restart every time. I'll end up just using Windows again, because I tried that once. I ended up just sticking in Windows because I couldn't be asked to restart all the
time. Exactly, but, you know, I mean, I've always said this, why bother with Linux if you're going to be using Windows more?
Someone needs to invent, like, an instant switching thing where you can actually suspend an OS in the background.
Is that
and then
possible with the current hardware?
If you somehow manage to screw up suspend to RAM, you know, you get suspend to RAM where it suspends, it's not hibernation, but it suspends to the RAM and leaves very small amounts of power running.
Yeah, yeah.
If you could somehow suspend an OS to RAM and boot up another one, that would be sweet if you could
do
that.
It would, but at the moment, obviously, you can't.
Yeah. So, you know, I really wanted it to work.
That'd be interesting, actually. I'd be interested in that.
What, having like a...
suspend to RAM OSs?
Well, you can do it already with Windows. But you have to change it in the BIOS, because normally it doesn't support it. I noticed Vista does it automatically.
Interesting.
What it does is it loads everything into the RAM, turns everything off, but leaves enough power going through the RAM to leave it there. And then when you turn on, it doesn't go through BIOS or anything. It just goes straight into, boots off the RAM, and away you go. It's better than suspend, because or standby, as it's often... Normally, in Linux, it's called one's called standby, and that's where the hard drive shut off, the screen goes blank, but fans are still whirring. Then you have suspend, which is the RAM bit. And then you have hibernate, which is where it suspends to a file. And then you have power off.
Yeah.
I think you can change it. I'm going to try it in IR, actually, because in IR, standby doesn't work at all. You go into standby, it will go off for about 5 seconds and fire straight back up again. I don't know why. But I noticed in the BIOS, you can change it to suspend to RAM. So I might give it a try. I think I'm right. I think they're called like S1, S2, and S3, different suspend types. I may be wrong.
If we're wrong, email us and tell us where we're going wrong.
Yeah, because it's all very interesting. So the upshot of the all is, it's not ready, Windows emulation is rubbish, and you need a degree in the Windows API, and Sediger costs.
Yeah, which always sucks.
Yes.
Because apparently we need money.
Yes, apparently we need money to live.
Yes.
Like water.
Yes, like water, yes.
The other thing that I've been experimenting with is x64 versions of operating systems. Because I've got an x64 processor, but I've never ever tried any.
But of course, the problem with these is that they're often buggy.
Yes. I tried out FreeBSD x64, because I've always wanted to try out FreeBSD, and I've always wanted to try out x64. And I had a spare hard drive that I bought, so I thought, hey, why not chuck FreeBSD on it? So I installed it. It installed fine. Hardware detection, flawless, except sound, but I worked that out. And it's extremely quick. I was very surprised at how quick FreeBSD is. I'm not sure whether it's the fact that it's x64, or that it's FreeBSD, or that it's because I haven't installed anything apart from what I need.
Yeah.
Because FreeBSD, if you don't use like a certain, there's like a hidden recommended install thing you can type in, and it'll install a bunch of stuff. If you don't do that, then you have to install everything yourself. So I installed X, I installed a few programs, and it does something very similar to Gentoo, where you compile from source. You know that Gentoo compiles from source. FreeBSD's been doing that for years, way before Gentoo has. So I compiled X, I compiled all these different things, and the only thing that didn't work was NVIDIA drivers. There are no NVIDIA FreeBSD x64 drivers. That's kind of a long-winded type thing.
But that's kind of obvious considering how little people will be needing 64-bit NVIDIA drivers FreeBSD.
Exactly. It's becoming more mainstream, actually. More people are using x64 FreeBSD than x86 now. More and more people are moving over. But they do work for x86. Perfectly fine. Does everyone know what x64 and x86 means?
I know what 64 is. I don't know what 84 is.
Okay, x86 is the original, like 486. Do you remember when they used to be called 486s and 386s? The old laptops.
Yeah.
Well, our computers are still x86s. You get Intel 386, 486, 586, 686. And they're currently 686. But AMD have... Technically, x64 is wrong. Technically, I should be saying AMD 64, because it's AMD only. And you can get Spark 64, like Sun OS stuff. But anyway... The upshot of it all is 64-bit's pretty fast. FreeBSD is really nice, surprisingly. It's very stable, didn't have any problems, didn't have any crashes, any bugs or anything, any major flaws. The only couple of things is I can't get optical SPDIF out on my sound card. Never have been able to in any version of Linux. I think I got it once in Ubuntu. And my network, it had a problem with my network. It would randomly freeze... when the network wasn't being used.
That's interesting.
It's a known bug. They're going to fix it in the next version of FreeBSD.
Huh.
But there is a little... You can change a file and then recompile the kernel, and away it goes, just like that, and it's sorted. What I found really interesting, this is kind of off the sideline, but in Linux, to do sound, you often need a mixer program, like ALSA Mixer. I've never understood the Linux sound system. I've always got it wrong. I've always ended up screwing it up, because you have ESD, OSD, ALSA, all these... strange things, because Linux can only handle one thing at a time, so it can only handle you playing music. It can't then do game notifications, for example. So you need a mixer program to actually mix them all together. Windows does this automatically. In FreeBSD, so how do I get ALSA in FreeBSD? I couldn't find it. But actually, FreeBSD has a command. You just type in a command, and it instantly does the mixing all for you, and you don't need to install anything. And it's a feature of FreeBSD.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, dude, that's sweet.
Yeah.
And it just worked. The moment I typed it in, everything suddenly, all game and Winamp were working at the same XMMS.
Yeah.
Working at
I get what you're saying. Yeah. That's cool.
That's cool. Because in Linux, I've always had problems with that.
So how come FreeBSD isn't more widely used then?
I think BSD, as in the whole thing, so OpenBSD, NetBSD, FreeBSD, I think they're about equal with Linux. I think because you've got Unix and you've got BSD. BSD was made by Berkeley Software Development.
Right.
But actually separately, FreeBSD, OpenBSD, NetBSD, that's like separating Red Hat, Caldera, they're not around anymore. Red Hat, Mandrake, and all this sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I would really like to try OpenBSD one day as a server, because they have had two bugs in 15 years or something. Not two bugs, two security flaws in 15 years or something like this.
Yeah.
They have the least security flaws of any operating system anywhere at all, ever.
That's good, then.
And they pride themselves on it. They pride themselves on using the complete stable stuff. And so if I was ever told to create a server that was going to be, you know, right out on the internet, it was going to be there, it could potentially be attacked. It was like, a company that could be attacked by animal welfare or something like that.
Yes, yeah.
I would install OpenBSD because it's the most secure operating system out there. NetBSD can run on a toaster. That's the thing about NetBSD.
Because that's whenever they use, electronics to have a BOS on it, they always use NetBSD.
Because it's got the highest amount of processor architecture support. So the old little Motorola chips and things that you buy.
Yeah.
So the upshot of it all is, if you have a 64-bit processor, give a 64-bit OS a try. You know, I've just downloaded the Vista X64 version. Which we're going to try later. Because it's interesting. I really want to try the benchmarking, see if it really is faster. But so far, it does seem quite interesting. I know the gaming is slower on the 64-bit. But I'm going to have a look into it, because I don't know much about it.
But like you say, 64-bit is relatively new.
Yeah.
It's not very well supported yet.
But I was just interested in... I thought it was supremely buggy. Like, you install software and it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because it's x64. But because it's FreeBSD and you have to compile, it's compiling with 64-bit.
That's good.
So, that was very sweet. So that's my tech talk over about BSD and stuff. I don't know. The hard drive was churning. Did you hear that?
Yes,
just then?
I did.
We are recording. Okay, so that's my little tech section over. Thank you for being patient and listening.
Oh, I find it interesting. I mean, I don't know about Proen. I don't think you understood any of it. But no, I mean, again, I'm not massively techie, as I've always said. I mean, you're the techie person out of the two of us. But I still found it, I was interested in listening to it. I mean, I enjoyed trying to learn as much as I can.
I do enjoy my tech. Okay, so we got some gaming now. We just got a couple of things, because, as we say, the gaming scene is still quiet from
it's
E3.
Very quiet. There's not much going on.
There's a few games coming out for the summer stuff, but most of it is holding out until September, that sort of time. We're going to be doing, like, whole gaming episodes around that sort of time.
I think come mid-September, late September, because that's when some of the bigger games are coming out, it will probably just be Life in Hex Gaming.
Yeah.
That's
it. And so we're sort of banking up.
We could do a Hextra for it.
Yeah, we always could, you know. But we're going to have some reviews, definitely. I really want to do, when they come out, I really want to focus on doing some good quality reviews.
Well, by then we'll be able to start using our say.lifeinhex.com a lot
exactly,
more as well.
Exactly, yeah. And I really want to do some quality reviews of, you know, Enemy Territory, Quake Wars.
Yeah,
and all this sort
BF2,
of thing.
2142 and...
all the other things, Crysis.
Crysis.
The other games, I can't remember. Spore,
Stalker.
Stalker's next year.
Oh, is it?
It's delayed. Never mind. Really long way. But yeah, so moving on to our little gaming chat.
Now, you saw this, to be honest, because I'm not 100% sure what this is, but you mentioned something to me about a portable N64.
Yeah, someone's done, I saw it on Dig, and someone has put their N64 into a handheld, and they've made a box. It's quite chunky. It's not like a little tiny thing. But they've actually managed to squeeze an N64 with expansion pack into a handheld, and they can play on the go N64 games. So the shot was of like they were playing Mario Kart 64.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is just cool. I mean, people have done, what else are they? SNESes? They've done like SNESes in little boxes.
Yeah.
And I just found it quite cool that people take the time out to sort of open up their N64s and whatever and chuck them into tiny
boxes.
There
are some really cool mods. I mean, I've seen a few. I mean, I've seen an alarm clock turned NES.
Yeah.
And I've seen toasters termed snares. And
It's really interesting.
They do look cool.
So we'll give some links out in the show notes, because the guy was using dynedns.org, which means he was hosting it from his home computer. So I bet he really regretted
Dig
getting hold of it.
A Dig effect.
So
Jesus, can you imagine that?
So there's Doug Mirror, obviously, and there's things like that, but they don't work properly. Some of the images aren't there. So what we'll do is we'll give a link out to all the different caches, and you'll have to actually hunt yourself.
Yeah.
I'll show you some pictures. The pictures seem to have gone off the mirror, but if anyone has got pictures of that, because I only saw a couple, it actually looked really impressive. It was proper, like, white and smooth and everything. It didn't look like gaffer tape and all this sort of thing. It was actually a proper box and everything. It was really nice. So that was pretty cool, but yeah, it was a little large. But it had everything in it, a little screen and everything. It was just a full N64 with expansion pack.
That sounds pretty cool.
I mean,
it's a really nice thing to do.
Another thing that I saw again on Dig was a website called Get Weed, which is quite a cool name, reported on control schemes. Now, I think some of them might be unofficial, but for upcoming Wii games, you can go and have a look at this at getweed.com. That's getweid.com.
Not WEED.
No, indeed.
We're not talking about, as in, pot.
/ and then a question mark, P equals 38. So that's like Article 38, essentially.
It'll be on the website.
It'll be on the website, of course. It looks like developers are doing really well with the Wiimote. Jonathan Wass with his Wiimote.
Oh, Wiimote.
For example, obviously it had the thing about Extreme Truck.
Excite Truck.
I always get that wrong. I always think of Extreme G. Do you remember that game?
That's awesome. Wasn't that a really super fast motorcycle game?
And you could put the cheats in so that it went even faster and the screen flipped because it was going so fast and the screen actually went upside down. So you pressed C left to boost.
Random little quote there.
Yeah. But it looked like developers are doing really well, even third-party ones, because there were some third-party games there as well.
Some of the games I've seen, I was looking on IGN games, but etc., and some of the games do look pretty promising. You got some of the basic games, some of the well-known games like Twilight Princess, which is obviously going to use quite an interesting scheme of control.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to the fishing on that.
Yeah, I am.
But then you're going to get some, like you said, some more third-party games.
Project Hammer, for example.
Yeah, which is going to... Project Hammer, I mean, I don't actually know how the control schemes are going to work for it. Mm. But I'd imagine it's going to be simply you can swing your Wii if it is a hammer.
If you go and have a look on this website, they've got it. They've got the project. They've
actually got the proper scheme for it.
Written out of like the current beta versions of the instruction booklets type thing. The one I noticed that looked really good was WarioWare for the Wii. That really is. There's like every different thing you can possibly do with the remote.
Well, that's the point. I mean, WarioWare was always an intricate game.
With the DS and everything.
I mean, the DS really helped it out because of the stylus and the microphone, etc. And now the Wii's got it so that you've got completely free movement of your controller, so you can basically do anything.
So it looked very interesting. It looks like we're not going to be getting games that are just using normal controls slightly adjusted. We are actually going to get proper...
You will get the games which are only slightly adjusted and it's going to be using... The analogs,
especially the ones that have been ported from the other consoles,
from PS3 and Xbox 360. Mm. But you know, there's not going to be massive amounts of them, and it looks like the developers are actually working really hard. Mm. I mean, look at the DS. I mean, how many DS games do you get nowadays that are just clones of a GBA game?
Very true.
They're not, because I mean, at first there were. All the games that came out were really just basic games, which you just using the D-pad. But more and more games nowadays are starting to use the touchscreen, starting to use the microphone, starting to use the Wi-Fi. Mm. So it's good. I mean, I think it takes developers a little while to get going, but once they get going...
Are you looking forward to the Wii, Pran?
Definitely.
Yeah?
Any games? Online service.
Any games you're looking forward to mainly? Any games?
SSBB.
You're looking forward to SSBB?
Definitely. That's not surprising. I think that's the general consensus of people online, is that they're looking forward to the next Super Smash. Imagine if they sucked it. Imagine if it sucked.
It won't suck.
It won't suck.
It won't suck.
It won't suck.
Hopefully.
Hopefully not. You were saying about that they're going to redo, they're rethinking some of Red Steel.
Yeah, the Swordplay.
Right.
They're thinking of, first of all, they said about the Swordplay, they'll change it so you do the, what you want to do, and then it reacts it on the screen.
Right, so it's like a stop play type thing, where you stop and then you act what you want to do and then it does it. Right.
But then they thought it won't work, so they're going back to scraps now.
All right, so they're possibly redoing that, because you mentioned that.
I mentioned that a couple of episodes ago, after we first saw the Nintendo press conference. Mm. And I said the Swordplay didn't look great. Mm. I mean, don't get me wrong, it looked like a lot of fun. Mm. But I don't think the reactions on the screen were very good.
Mm.
So maybe they picked up on this.
Mm.
One thing I'd also like, I mean, again, what you said is the action shooting didn't look very accurate.
Yeah, when you're turning as well, that sort of
thing. It looked so slow, it looked unresponsive. I mean, I think Red Steel's got a lot of potential, and I don't think they should mess it up. I think they should really work hard on it and make sure they get this game really good, because it will be a benchmark for what the Wii U will be able to do.
Especially as it's a third-party developer. It's Ubisoft.
Yeah.
Ubisoft will be able to go, here, look, third-party developers.
And Ubisoft's a very respected developer.
They are. I mean, yeah, definitely.
They've been around for a damn long time, and they're very good. I mean, I've always liked Ubisoft games.
So, yeah, so the Wii looks promising, even more promising now that, you know, people are getting the control schemes right, so... the other thing is that the DS Lite's just been released.
I think it was released yesterday.
Yeah.
Because Pac-Mac pre-ordered one, and he's traded in his old
DS. It's been in the US for about 10 days or something like that, hasn't it?
I think it's been in the US for a little while, like you say, and it's just been released over here. And I've not got one.
Mm-hmm.
You've not got one.
Nope.
And you've not got one, have you, bro?
I'm not getting one.
You're not going to get one?
Nope.
Me neither.
No, I don't see the point of getting a new one. It's only a backlight and some other stuff on it.
Well, you were the last of both of all of us to get your DS. You've only actually got yours recently.
It took me
so
a damn long time to convince you to buy a DS.
Exactly. So the last thing we want to do is try and convince you to get a DS Lite. We could be here until sunset.
I'm considering getting a DS Lite simply because, I mean, I've had my DS longer than all of you, because I got mine from Canada.
Yours is quite scratched and everything.
Mine's scratched to hell.
Mm.
Never really liked it, because it always looked a bit dull and always looked a bit drab.
But I mean, I don't use mine a lot, and I don't carry it, you know, I carry it around if I'm going somewhere and I want something to do, but other than that, I don't sort of take it to school much or anything, so mine's in pretty much, it's got a little scratch on it, but other than that, it's in pretty good condition, so to be honest,
Worth your investment.
You know, it's not worth me spending money on something that I've essentially already got. I don't play it a lot, because I've got my computer.
Exactly.
And so, to me, the DS is fine, it plays the games.
Does what you need to do,
exactly.
So a Lite isn't really required for you.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I mean, I use my DS every day
at
college. I play it constantly. I mean, I love my DS, and I need some new games for it, to be honest.
Mm.
Cause, I mean,
Harvest Moon DS.
Yes, I want to get Harvest Moon DS, because that will rock. And I need to start playing Animal Crossing again on it. No, but the game I play most is Jump Superstars anyway.
Mm. Okay, so we got some plugs and shouts.
So yes, that is our little gaming section, and moving on to our little plugs and shouts.
Yeah, so I don't have any plugs or shouts this episode.
It's just me, really.
I haven't really got anyone.
Oh, have you got anything to plug? Or shout to?
Not really. No.
No.
I've got quite a few plugs, actually.
Mm-hmm.
There's a plug that I want to plug, a website I want to plug. It's called RO Shopper.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you showed me this.
I showed you this.
This is awesome. This is actually awesome.
It's not been working recently. The site doesn't even load, let alone the actual program on it.
That sucks.
Which does suck. I mean, now if anyone plays RO, I mean, I'm sure there's similar things for WoW as well.
Yeah.
But there's a website called RO Sniper, which shows you the economy of the game at the moment. Mm. But it's all related to what people actually put on, right? Cool. It's all related to users putting prices on.
Mm.
But RO Shopper, however...
Ah, right.
Right. RO Shopper uses these in-game spider programs. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure it's illegal, to be honest. Probably. Because, I mean, it probably uses bot software, which is obviously against the rules.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not breaking any laws of... You're not breaking, like, really leveling laws. They're not making it unfair for people. It's just providing a service. So they're not actually harming the game. It got these spider crawling bots which go through all the merchant shops, all the user based shops in the game on the two main servers on IRO, which is Lock and Chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Goes through them all, records what's being sold, records the price of them, records the shop's name, records the shop's location, and then feeds onto the website.
I think this is really
so
awesome.
You go onto the website, you type out what you want. So say I want to find a +7 Clamorous Gladius, triple Clamorous Gladius, which I bought recently actually. Oh, it's made my leveling so much better. Cool. and if there's one being sold on, say, Chaos, which is the game I play, it will show it.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is that?
It's very sweet. I looked at it and I was like, whoa, that's cool.
Because, I mean, you've seen Prontera.
Mm, it's freaking
there's so many merchants, and you've got to stand around for like hours find item on, only to find it might not even be there.
Mm.
And it could change about. So it's just easy to go on the website and change it out. So if you want to check that out, if you play RO, I mean, even if you don't play RO,
have a look,
check it out
cool
because
system.
It's such a cool idea. He doesn't say how he does it. He probably doesn't want to.
Pixies.
Yeah, pixies, exactly.
Monkeys playing the game and writing it all down.
Exactly. I don't think he probably will tell people how to do it, obviously, because obviously he wants to keep his system to himself, which is fair enough. But if you want to go and have a look, definitely check it out. It's seriously interesting. It's seriously nice amount of coding he's probably done.
Yep.
That's at www.toloid.co.uk/ro-shopper/index.php. Now, Toloid is spelt TOOOYD. The link will be on the website, so check it out there. It's not been working recently. The website itself won't even load, so I don't know maybe if you've been taken down by IRO saying, "Oi, you shouldn't be doing this," which is a real shame in my opinion.
Yeah,
because I loved it, but hopefully it'll be back up.
Mm-hmm.
So bugs to them.
Yes,
similar to WoW, but you don't have some little robot thing going around yet, but you have all the items and everything set up on a website called Footbot for WoW. Which I mean to say.
So you can find out what items were, what items costing, where they are, etc.
Yeah, and the amount percentage it drops.
All right,
from enemies.
And of course, if you play Eve, then it's all there anyway, and it's the market, and it's like the hardest part of the whole game.
That's the whole point of Eve, isn't
that's
it?
The point of the game is to try and find
exactly.
these things. I've always found that so scary. You look at it; it's got like movie averages, and you're like, "Whoa! I need a degree in business."
You do.
You do, actually. I was looking at it, and I was like, I understand this because I'm doing A-level business. It's really dodgy.
Other than that, though, that's the only reason why you understand it.
Yeah.
Another plug.
This is a joint plug, actually.
All of us probably plugged this.
Yeah.
Because obviously you lot are lazy and didn't think of plugs. I thought it was during geography lesson.
Indeed.
Last week.
Oh, yeah, so you're not lazy.
Plugs to Puronage. Mm-hmm. So plugs, guys. Plugs to all the guys at Puronage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's loads of people now behind Puronage.
There must be.
I mean, there's no way it's just Jeremy and Kyle doing this on their own.
You can't honestly tell me that it's FPS Doug and Jeremy just packing those things. They're the only people for everyone.
I bet you it's quite big now. I bet the whole people, the workforce behind Puronage is pretty big now. So plugs to everyone at Puronage.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just released episode 11. So it was pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit of a filler episode.
It was a little bit filler.
Actually, I watched it a second time. And once I watched it a second time, it was a bit better. But go and check that out.
Go and check it out at pureonage.com.
Yeah.
Pure and then onage spelled with a P.
Mm-hmm.
And one last shout, because I just remembered it just now.
Yeah.
DVDboxoffice.com, www.dvdboxoffice.com.
This is obviously mainly for UK people because of the facilities that they offer.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Canadian store.
Mm-hmm.
And they sell DVDs, movies, games, games consoles.
Mm-hmm.
I think they sell music as well. I think they sell a few hobby things as well.
All right.
They're really branching into a lot of stuff. But they're so cheap.
Yeah.
They are really,
aren't
reasonably
they like
priced.
Is it small postage or free postage?
Totally free postage.
Free postage.
No. Yeah, it's free worldwide postage. It's free international postage, just to think about that. It's free worldwide postage. So people in the UK, if you want to import stuff from America/Canada...
We recommend DVD Box Office.
DVD Box Office, definitely. I mean, I imported my DS from
there. I'm sure I've imported something from there before. I can't remember.
You have. You imported Yoshi Touch and Go from
it. That was it, yeah.
But yeah, DVD Pure Ownage.
DVD Pure Ownage.
DVDBoxOffice.com. Great site. Really well priced. And that's it. Mm-hmm. That's it for plugs. I have a few shouts myself. Shouts out to Pacamac for being an absolute bitch. Is that an anti-shout? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, he recently bought all the Chinese volumes of Ichigo 100%. Mm-hmm. And if you remember when I did my Ichigo 100% view in episode 7, and I took like 8 times to get this one line, do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. But yeah, he bought all the Chinese versions of it because it's not been released in the UK at all. And he won't show me them. Mm-hmm. So he's a bit of a bitch. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my guild leader on RO. Shout out to... actually, I shouldn't say the name because he might get PM'd and stuff. So I'll just say shout out to my guild leader. Mm-hmm. He's been finally come back after about a month's worth of absence because he had some really serious internet problems with his connection. Mm-hmm. And he's not been able to get on for the past month or so. And the guild was just about ready to fall apart. Mm-hmm. He came back at just about the right time. So it's glad to have him. It's good to have him back, even though I don't really know him. I mean, I joined practically when he left, so I barely know him. But it's nice to have him back. I mean, he's leading pretty good.
And a shout out, please, to my new guild, which is the Prophecy.
Which say I again?
Only the Prophecy.
All right. See, he's all right with telling his guild on the show.
Which is TP.
That's your new name on MSN.
Asking me. How many people are there in the guild?
Almost 200 now.
Really?
That makes my guild feel so pathetic. You know how many is in my guild?
How many?
24. Sweet.
That's awesome.
24 is like an average side guild.
Yeah.
Cool.
What server are they on?
They are on the Azun server on the Horde side.
All right.
Okay, Azun server on the Horde side. So if you're on the Horde side and you're on the Azun server...
we're talking like we know, exactly what you mean. The Horde side, on the left. All right, legends. Well, I've got no shouts or plugs, so that wraps up the show.
That about wraps up the show. So,
and of course, if you want to listen to the anime stuff, then...
come and check out Life in Hex.
I might go in and go and play some CS.
I don't think we should do Life in Hex straight away.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be another 30, 40 minutes at least, so... Right. And I'm getting tired.
Okay.
So this has been episode 17 of Life in Hex.
Thank you very much, Perone, for coming in.
Thank you very much. It's all right.
Doing the anime and everything and listening in.
Possibly get you on another time.
Yes.
Because obviously you're probably the easiest person to get on.
Because you just live down the road.
Yeah. Kimara and Pac-Mac live other places. So.
Sweet. Okay, well, I hope you enjoyed the show. See you in 2 weeks' time for episode 18.
I'm Sephron.
I'm Gelada.
And I'm Perone.
Hey.
That's it. Bye-bye all. I was sitting there, who I shout to? My motorcycle? My chair?
And if anyone plays WoW and wants to, chat throwing up...
Yeah, I mean, if there's any girlies on WoW who want to be get throwing it, because he sounds a bit sexy-like.
Yeah, sexy voices.
I don't think Moon plays, though. Oh, Jesus, it's going to be a running joke.
Yeah, every episode we've got to get something in about it. And then when we get him on the show, we're just going to be in hysterics. 7 is Sephron is very sunburned. That was clever.
Mind the computers. No. Live and Hex listeners, I just spilled beer on myself.
Yes, you did.
Leroy Jenkins.
Leroy Jenkins.
Leroy Jenkins.
Leroy Jenkins.